Good morning, lovely people. Well, I hope you are doing well in this strange time we all find ourselves in. Apparently, we are going into the 11th week this week. But really, in a comparatively short amount of time, the world has become a very different place. And people have changed. You know, we've all kind of changed a little bit. We've all got very used to washing our hands and social distancing. I'm sure you're probably like me on TV. You look at it, and when you see groups of people close together, it's kind of a bit alarming. It's amazing how we've got used to these new measures, this new normal, really quickly. But, you know, when you get chatting to people and you get over the initial chit-chat and lightheartedness of, oh yeah, I can't wait for the pubs to open again and the kids to get back at school. You need to scratch beneath the surface a little bit. A lot of people are anxious about stuff and people are willing to talk more. I don't know if you're finding that. I'm certainly finding that when I'm out and about. And I think, basically, a bad time for the world is a good time for the kingdom. You know, we can get chatting and we can turn these conversations to Jesus. You know, the reason why we have hope, that actually how faith in him does make a difference when we just simply pray and trust him. And eternity as well. I haven't managed to get eternity into a conversation yet, but it's my goal to. I want to just, you know, in a right way, in a natural conversation flowing way, you know, just say to people, what do you think then is going to happen to you when you die? I think it's a good question to put over to people, because most people, I think, don't really think about it, try not to think about it, but we all need to think about eternity more, the reality of eternity, church included. We can all get so consumed with life on this planet, kind of looking down, focused on the here and now, and not really giving much thought to our God-given commission to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And when you think about those two things, you think about salt and you think about light, they both bring change. And we're here to bring change. It's good to remind ourselves of that. I you know, more and more I'm reminding myself of that. I'm actually here to bring change, not to just bob along with everyone else with the same ideas and the same conversation. I'm here to influence and bring change. And just throw in some Jesus curveballs, you know. Well, do you have faith? Do you ever pray? I believe the Holy Spirit is, during this time of kind of global emergency, is wanting to speak to the church and say, okay, you know, it's a health emergency, it's quickly and increasingly going to be an economic emergency, but don't forget the spiritual emergency. You know, worse than catching coronavirus or being poor is an eternal separation from God. And I believe the Lord just wants to restore in all of us. And maybe you've never had this. I'll be honest, I've never been overly confident about sharing Jesus with people, but I believe the Lord is at work in all of us and wanting to be at work in all of us to give us a boldness and a confidence to just chat about our faith, the reason why we're not melting down with anxiety, you know, the reason why we have hope. But I think the big reason we don't often share our faith, or maybe ever share our faith, is because we think and feel we can't. We think we don't know enough. We think we probably won't be able to answer questions if people are even wanting to talk about things. We're not confident to give the gospel. And then you hear messages like this and you kind of, you know, pressure grows, condemnation grows, and you feel and think, I can't do this. You feel inadequate. Well, I want to give you some liberating news this morning. For me, it's absolutely liberating, has been liberating. We are inadequate. You are inadequate. And instead of kind of being embarrassed about that or trying to hide that, we should celebrate it. You know, the enemy tries to get us to kind of hide it, you know, and be embarrassed about that and think on the inside, well, I can't do that, so I won't even try. We need to celebrate it. The fact that we are inadequate means we need God himself to be the witness, the light of the world through us. The good news, the one, the brilliant messenger. He can tell his story very well when we just depend on him and let him speak. We can't convince people. I was thinking about this. We can't even get people's attention in the first place to talk about spiritual things. He can. He can get their attention. But we need him. We need him to kind of open the conversation, find the door. We need him to speak through us. And I just want to give a bit of testimony. I had a call just over a week ago. It was Kaz actually phoned me, and she found out about this woman who had just suddenly lost her husband a few days before, not saved, in an absolutely terrible mess. And the question was, will you go? And I thought to myself, you know, my first thought was, I have been praying for opportunities like this, I have to go. But very quickly, my second thought was, oh heck, what am I going to say? Where do you even start, you know, in that kind of scenario? And then I prayed this liberating prayer. I kind of did a deal with God, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll go if you speak. Honestly, really, I'm going to say instantly, it set me free. I just came to faith. Well, I'll just go, but I trust that he will speak through me, love her through me, you know, his big heart, his perfect words. And so we went, we had an address, praise God, we found it, went in separate cars. Kaz actually had this great idea on the way, let's stop at a petrol station, it was the only place we could find, and just get a gift, get something, get a box of chocolates, get a card. And we managed to find that, sat in the car, wrote the card, I had 4 points in my bag, put it in the card, turned up at her house. And obviously we couldn't go in, but we chatted on the doorstep. And you know, when you meet people face to face at a social distance, you know, your heart just goes out. You can't help but feel compassion. And she was kind of shivery. It was a cold day. We didn't actually stay that long. She was just chatting a bit on the doorstep. And we just shared how we'd lost our dad suddenly in a car accident, but how we discovered Jesus is the best comforter in the world, genuinely. How he can kind of give an anesthetic to your emotions. And how he restored our hope for the future and would do that for her if she reached for him. And we're praying that she will reach for him and find him. And, you know, we just need to pray and we just need to go. We don't know what to say. We can't be prepared in our heads. We have to depend on him. But my gosh, what I'm discovering is that's the joy of it. That's the liberty of it. And it's kind of a process, learning to depend on him to speak through you. But, you know, we just need to care enough to start conversations with the goal of getting Jesus in. And I think a massive part of all of this is living with a consciousness of Jesus in me, conscious of Christ in me, you know, like a daily, regularly throughout the day, reminding myself, well, Christ is in me, all things are possible, you know, he can speak through me. And what used to be a pressure and a burden, quite honestly, is becoming more of an adventure. Like, well, I wonder what he wants to speak to this one. Will there be an opportunity here? I had a chat with my neighbour, kind of through the garden fence. I've got a kind of lattice top. I was able to speak to her through the garden fence. And she just started, I can't even remember now how the conversation started, but somehow she started talking to me about clairvoyance. So I was chatting to her and I just said, look, I believe God is real and I believe God is good, but I believe there's a dark side. And I believe that they are on that side and I really wouldn't get involved with them if I were you. I've heard some scary stories of what happens when people get interested in that kind of stuff. And she, you know, she was chatting a little bit, but she had her 4-year-old daughter there who really wanted to talk about snails. And And so we chatted, you know, it's just life, isn't it? You chat about different things, and in the midst of it, you can weave something in about Jesus. And I just said, do you know what? We have some brilliant kids' movies on our church website. You need to have a look at them. There's one about animals and bugs. I reckon she'd be really into that. Went inside, jotted down the web address, handed it over, and I'm praying that she'll watch that. And it's another kind of avenue in to just bring truth into her life. We never know where these conversations are going to go. You know, we can't be prepared for it, can we? Other than in prayer. Prayer is such an important part of it. But if we'll open our mouths with the goal of getting Jesus in, he'll speak. And he knows just the right thing to say to each person. I was thinking about Psalm 139. You know, he knows when they sit down and they rise up. He knows their thoughts from afar. He knows the pressures that they're under. He knows what keeps them awake at night. He knows how to reach them. He knows where the door is. And I was thinking how, you know, in these, like Poirot or some of these Agatha Christie things, Miss Marple things, there's the library with the hidden door. And it's kind of, it's secret. You can't really see it. Because it looks like books, but it's there somewhere. And when you push it, door opens in. He knows where the door is in every person's life, where he, you know, the avenue in that's going to really speak to them about the stuff that they're concerned about. And Jesus, the genius that he is, you know, when we read in the Gospels, his starting place with each person was different. There was not a one-size-fits-all message. People, they're not interested in that. I think it's very off-putting. And he never did that. He chatted with individuals about their personal lives. With the Samaritan woman, he chatted about relationships. With fishermen, he spoke about fish. Collectors, rich man, he spoke about money. He talked to them about the things that they were already interested in and that their lives were kind of full of. He got their attention and then he got spiritual truth in. And that's the way he still wants to work, because he loves individuals. He knows individuals. He loves individuals. And I just want to share a bit of honest testimony with you. I have been convicted in the last weeks that I don't really love people enough. You know, people in the world, people who don't know Jesus. I don't care enough. I'm absolutely fully convinced hell exists. But I try not to think about it, if I'm honest. It's too disturbing. But you know, watching these daily updates and seeing this daily report of the number of people that have died, of course, it's absolutely horrible. But I dared to ask myself that disturbing question. How many of them were saved? Really? How many of them believed in Jesus, had made a decision to make Jesus Lord of their lives? And the answer is probably not that many. And it turned me to prayer. And I just started to pray. And my first prayer, actually, I had to repent. Lord, I'm so sorry. I haven't really been praying that much for the world. You know, people who don't know you, I haven't been really caring that much. And I've started praying for the nation. And I've started praying for our region, that people will turn to God. That, you know, not just meditation or exercise or get a few more indoor plants in to make themselves feel better. That they will have the thought, I need to find God. God is able to do that. He's able to kind of unsettle people and make them aware there is an emptiness on the inside. That life, as they try and make it for themselves, isn't really satisfying them, you know, deep down. And it's a commitment to pray like that. Because naturally, without thinking, our prayers gravitate back to ourselves and they gravitate back to the people that we know and care about. But the enemy wins, doesn't he, if we're self-focused and insular. And when I walk Reg, I often hear the announcement from the train station. And this announcement kind of comes up quite often. And it says, may I have your attention, please? And I know the Lord was speaking to me about praying for the lost. May I have your attention, please? I get a bit choked when I think of it. But I knew the Lord was saying, will you pray my prayer requests? Will you pray what's on my heart? He sees everybody, doesn't he? He knows the troubles and the anguish that really is going on. Once you get beneath the kind of, oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm coping, exterior, the deep down stuff. And I just said, Lord, I'll give you my heart then. Fill it with your heart and I'll pray. But my testimony is, and it's a great testimony, the more I'm praying, the more I'm caring. The prayer is changing me so that I'm caring enough to try and reach people, to kind of inconvenience myself. It's pushing me out of my comfort zone to try and find people that I can just speak something of Jesus into their lives. And you know, the other thing that's really helping me is just this revelation. It's okay to feel inadequate. It's okay not to have everything clear in your head. Our inadequacy actually is no hindrance to Jesus. It's no hindrance to the Lord. Actually, it's an advantage, because basically we need him. We need him. If we're going to be effective salt and light in the world, our main reason for being on this planet and not just being zapped off to heaven as soon as we put our faith in Jesus, we're here to reach people. But if we pray, if we depend on him, he'll work. The greatest revelation of our lives actually is that we need him. Satan works very hard to get us independent. He works to make us try to get us self-confident and just achieving. He drives to cause us to achieve things by ourselves so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, well done you. We might not say it outwardly, but on the inside, well, you know, I did quite well there. Just this independent life. But the problem is, it is destined to fail for the whole of humanity. Destined to fail, because God made us, he designed us to do life with him, made by him, for him, to do life with him, dependent on him. But our dependence, you know this, but our dependence is our point of salvation, and it's absolutely liberating. It liberates us from pressure to perform. It liberates us from pressure to achieve, and opens the door wide open for God to work. Grace to the humble. Rest to those who believe, who put the full weight of their lives over onto him. It's the greatness, really, of Christianity, the Christian message, in a nutshell. Independence from God leads to sin, failure, trouble. Dependence on him brings him in, his saving power. And we sing that song often in church, don't we? We know it really well. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. But only when we depend on him truly do we experience his saving power. But the more we depend on him, less pressurized we feel. It's literally a load off, you know. And the more we see him work in every aspect of life, our jobs, our responsibilities, our call to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so we need to celebrate our weakness. God only works through people who know they need him. And if you don't know that, I'll be honest, you will keep failing until you do. It's just how it is, because we're all made to do life dependent on him, with him. The Lord said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul realized and said, he responded, I will therefore gladly boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so if weakness in our own eyes causes us to depend on him, we step into his grace. There's kind of an ease to it. You sense the oil, if I can put it like that, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Nobody wants an uptight conversation about Jesus, a kind of pressurized conversation about Jesus. But when the grace is flowing, it's easy. It's enjoyable. You don't look quite so strained about it. You've got a smile on your face. I actually met a lady yesterday, and I wasn't sort of out looking for a conversation with anybody. I just, you know, wanted to do a quick walk and get back to prepare this message. But I met this lady and she wanted to chat, and I thought, well, how ironic if I don't, preparing a message on stopping to chat to people about Jesus. So we started chatting, and you know, I was kind of looking for that secret door. And I just said, how are you doing in lockdown? You know, how are you managing? Oh, she said, I'm fine. You know, managing quite well. She said, I'm quite arty. I like doing craft stuff. I like Kirsty Allsop. I've been watching that TV program on Channel 4, and she started chatting away about that. And I thought, okay, Lord, where's the door here? And then she said, well, I'm learning as well about different subjects. I found this thing online and I kind of learn about different subjects. And I got into genealogy and, you know, finding out about my genealogy. And I thought, is this the door? You kind of feel like, you know, when you're in your car and you're at a roundabout and you're trying, like, can I go now? Can I go now? It's like, is this my opportunity to get in? And I kind of did. I wasn't able to. And then she said, and also I did this kind of little study on the subject of spiritualism. Ba-boom, wide open door, can't miss that one. I said, oh, how interesting. She said, yeah, I was looking into the Quakers and this, that and the other. I said, oh, the Quakers. I said, they've got their roots in Christianity, haven't they? Oh, she said, yes. I said, well, funnily enough, I'm a Christian. I said, actually, without my faith in God, I would be very anxious in this time. And from time to time, I do get anxious, but I pray. I hand over stuff to Him, and then I receive His peace. And I find that prayer works. Faith in God works. She said, well, that is very interesting. And we chatted a bit more. We ended up chatting for about 20 minutes. I didn't say too much more about Jesus. The majority of the conversation was about Kirsty Allsop. And crafting. But you know, I got something in. And at the end of the conversation, she said to me, well, it's been lovely chatting. My name is Judith. I said, well, I remember that name. My best friend's called Judith. And she said, I hope we meet again. I said, I hope we do. Well, now, of course, I'm praying for her. And it's, you know, my point is, it's easy. There's a grace. When we depend on Him, there's a grace to these conversations. It's kind of an easy conversation for both of you. And so really I just want to conclude by saying, let's celebrate our inadequacy, our feeling of I can't. Live conscious of Christ in us, who can, and pray. Prayer is changing me. I just encourage you, pray. I can't say I pray for the lost all the time, but I certainly do more. And the more I'm praying, the more I'm caring, I'm wanting to see people saved, getting His heart actually for people. And you know, faith and love, faith in Him and love for people is a powerful winning combination. It mobilizes us. So instead of doing this because we should or we're being told to, you do it because you care. It's like you're compelled to reach people, to bring a lifeline to people. So I just want to finish by praying together in this. It's probably not so weird for you. It's very weird for me looking at a camera, but we're just going to pray. So in your homes, let's just pray together. Father, You're the Lord of the harvest. You have put us here for such a time as this. You're the light of the world. But Jesus, thank You that You're not just in heaven. You're in us by Your Spirit. You give us Your amazing ability to care for people, to reach people and find people, to speak to them about You. Lord, we don't know what to say, we don't know where to begin, but Father, we pray for opportunities. Lord, we pray that You will swing wide open many doors for Your church, for all of us, Lord. And I thank You that boldness comes when we trust in You, when we depend on You, conscious of You in us. And so, Lord, I pray for faith for all of us, that we will grow in faith, that actually we have received Your Spirit, power to be witnesses. You're in us, Lord. You're the able one. You're the saving one. And we ask You that You will save through us, that you will speak to people through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. I hope you have a blessed day, whatever you're going to be doing. And, you know, this mobilizing that Jesus is wanting to do with his worldwide church is not to be a kind of pressurized thing, but just a lifestyle thing. And as I said, there's in his grace, there's an ease to it, and it's just kind of part of life in a very easy Jesus way. God bless you, and we are praying for you. We love you loads. We miss your faces, but got them in my head. And sending you lots of love, and I'll speak to you again.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.